What is up, Shalom Alechem, Heverim, Mishpoche, family, friends, happy Friday. I'm a little sick. You made it, you got to the end of the week, we're here, let's celebrate. I know I don't sound enthusiastic, but trust me, I am so excited you joined, and let's get into this. Alright gang, this is going to be a quicker episode. I'm going to cut right to the chase, and I hope some of this resonates. Before you know it, it's 3 a.m., and you're 80 years old. This was a post on Reddit. And, you know, it's to remind you, you can't remember what it's like to have 20-year-old thoughts in a 10-year-old body. And so take advantage right now. Because one day, you're going to be 80 years old, and you're looking at the clock, and it's 3 a.m. And you're just sitting there thinking, what the hell happened? Enjoy right now, period. There's a poem, and it says, "Then it came to me, my little life. I remembered my life the way an axe handle, mid-swing, remembers the tree." This is really deep because it discusses how we forget who we really are after years of corrupting ourselves and losing ourselves to the unimportant things and making others into the same monster that we are. Because think about it, this axe is swinging away, mid-swing remembers the tree it used to be. And so it says, "Then it came to me, my little life." And we lose touch of our little life. We lose touch of who we actually are and what's actually important. We lose touch until mid-swing before it's about to be too late and you can't stop. So take a second right now to smell the freaking roses and look around. Take a second right now before mid-swing. Do you know how many people it's sad? How many people I hear saying time has flown by? But when they say it, they're saying it with dread, with gloom. They're saying, what the hell happened? And they say, "Zev, what the hell? Go travel the world." They're always telling me, "Zev, don't worry about us. Don't worry about us." My clients tell me this when I'm going to travel for 2 weeks and they're going to miss me. They say, "Don't worry about me. Go." Because they know how important it is. They know that they wish they could have gone and traveled the world when they were my age. Folks, remember your little life that comes and goes in a millisecond. And don't be 80 years old at 3 a.m. thinking mid-swing, axe handle, remembering the tree mid-swing. Don't be that. And you're not going to be because of this message. Okay? This segues into this. Be a better you, but for you. And it reminds me of a saying, if you build a garden, no, it's don't build a garden. Oh, what is it? The saying is like this. If you want butterflies to come, that's it. If you want butterflies to come, build a garden. And even if you build a garden and butterflies don't come, at least you still have your garden. Be a better you for you. When you take care of yourself, when you're thinking of yourself, when you're working on yourself, you're not going to project Fakarkt onto everybody else. It's going to help everybody else. We all know this, but I'm just reminding you that sometimes we forget that we're doing things just for other people. And I'm here to remind you, if you build a garden and the butterflies don't come, you're still going to have a beautiful garden and that you can enjoy in peace. Let me fall if I must fall. The one I will become will catch me. This also reminds me of this concept that losing yourself, getting lost, is how you actually find the way, is how you find yourself, because of fate, destiny, what was going to be, what's out of our control. Like, imagine you're hiking, you get lost, and you stumble somewhere. That was actually the way. That the other way was a fallacy. You were taught to think that was the way. The real way is what is. That's what's real. What is real. Everything else is smoke and mirrors, illusions. Therefore, let me fall if I must fall. The one I will become will catch me. So if I have to get lost, then I have to get lost because that is where I'm supposed to be. Everything else is resistance, which is suffering. If you are thinking, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be, but you are here, you're resisting, and that is suffering. Moving on. You aren't reading the story, you're writing the story. Now, I actually disagree with this because of philosophical free will. Folks, to keep free will as simple as possible, which I made a whole hour-long episode on this years ago. This is free will in a nutshell. When you go to the restaurant, you don't pick what's on the menu, but you get to pick whatever is on the menu. That's free will in a nutshell. You don't actually pick the menu, but whatever's on it, you get to pick from that. And that's our life. We get hit with a menu of options, and within those options, we have free will. So it's then up to you, your discretionary opinion as to what you think free will is based off that autonomy. So it's saying here, you aren't reading the story, you're writing your story. And that, again, you could look at that both ways philosophically. That's all I wanted to say. There's a person on Instagram, and they said something absolutely tragic. Having no source of intimacy in your daily life, and therefore resorting to learning as much as you can as a way to pass the time, is such a sad cycle. Every single day, it's like, you know, what can I become obsessively interested in this time to vaguely stimulate companionship and a temporary sense of purpose? They will know will eventually make me feel even more alone, because if I find meaning and enjoyment, it is completely irrelevant to and isolated from everyone and everything else. And so that sounds like a mouthful, but what to say, I'll break down each part here. It's saying when someone doesn't have any intimacy, they're going to fill the void. And it's saying here, they're becoming obsessively interested in things that are vague and but stimulate them. And then it actually leads to even more gloom and darkness, because it reminds them inevitably that they're isolated from everyone and everything else. That intimacy, that's interesting, right? I don't know what they mean exactly by having no source of intimacy. I'm going to assume this is relationships. I've been saying this forever. I think relationships are the most important thing. The most important thing. We live for experiences and relationships. That is our will to live right there. Experiences and relationships feed the will to live. That's the meaning of life. Boom. Which is the paradoxical yin yang. But it's a whole lift. Listen to 90% of my episodes and you'll hear me give a spiel on the yin yang paradox of our life. But that's it right there. Moving on. I thought that pain meant I was not loved. It meant that I loved. I'm going to say this one more time for you. I thought that pain meant I was not loved. It meant that I loved. You know, to love folks is enough, because you will love yourself. It's a humble reminder of it was fun while it lasted. To be in pain, to hurt, to suffer, you can think in that moment you're not being loved, whether it's by the universe, by someone else, by yourself. You need to remember it's reflecting a time when you were loved, because you have that contrast. Example being, I thought I was as Jewish as everyone else. And then someone came around and said, because of your mom's conversions, have you not? And that was painful. And so I thought it meant I wasn't loved and wasn't accepted by certain communities in the Jewish community, like Orthodoxy. But then I realized it meant that I loved deeply. It meant that I was so in love with my Yiddishkeit and my upbringing. That's what it represented, because then the pain was that I had lost some of that love, but it meant that I loved. And that's the principle of this. The principle is that I was loving. Like, it doesn't matter who else loves it, I was loving. And that's what it means, right? It doesn't. And so when it says I thought the pain meant I was not loved, it's that person taking it personal versus it meant I loved versus projecting love. That will end up having you love yourself. When you project love out, you will end up loving yourself, because you're a reflection of everything. I hope that makes sense. Versus if you feel not loved, it's also a reflection of you not loving yourself, right? Right? That's a self-respect thing. If someone called me Rebecca, I know my name is Ev. I'm secure in that. So it shows that I loved, and that there's something poetic and beautiful about being such a loving person at one time. And you can say, oh, it was fun while it lasted. I was really grateful for that moment in my life. And then you can forgive everyone, including yourself, that part of you that didn't like yourself and believe people. You can forgive them. You can say, Zev, come here. You hold old Zev's hand, and you can do this with yourself. You hold your old self's hand and say, it's okay, man. It's okay. That was fun while it lasted. We're good. Come with me to this new stage, and we're going to love our new version of ourselves. Because that's the Stoic way, is to love fate. The Stoics loved just the concept of loving fate and destiny. Not wishing for a fate and a certain destiny. Not wishing for it, not wanting it, but loving whatever their fate and destiny was. Just to love the concept of fate and destiny means you inevitably are going to enjoy everything, if that's what your belief. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that helps you. So that anytime fate and destiny hits your life, you can tackle that with a, oh, I love this. No matter what, you say, I love this for what it is, because it's my fate and destiny. Does that make sense? You're saying, I love this, period. Not because X, Y, Z. You're saying, I love it, period. Because I love fate and destiny. And every single moment of our life is fate and destiny. Anyways, one way to look at it, stoically. But just be easy on yourself if you grieve the loss of old you. If you say, I loved at one point, but I don't love now. No, grab old you and say, and look back and say, wow, wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice? Because nothing is forever. I said this last episode, change is inevitable in life. It is inevitable in life. And so you've got to learn to love change, but you've got to learn to not hold on to things because change is inevitable. Does that make sense, folks? Like, I don't know if I have to say this again. You have to let go of things because change is inevitable. It's insane, literally insane, to hold on thinking that's good for you. You know, like you wouldn't hold on to a train if you know it's going to leave. Like, that's just insane. So you're going to hurt yourself. So you're going to get hurt if you hold on to things when everything changes. And this can be radical, and you have to learn this the hard way sometimes. Like, I never thought my Jewish identity would ever be questioned, ever, ever. But it was. And so I had to learn to let go of that too. Sometimes you gotta learn, man, not to hold on, because everything changes at some point. And on a grand scheme, on an existential level, everything changes, meaning our literal mortality. Like, we are, like, our life changes, like, we die. So on the most extreme level of our existence, this is true. But on the minute little levels, this is also true. Nothing is the same forever. Okay, folks, love you. This is actually a pretty long episode. I gotta go. I gotta hit some BP, which is batting practice for those that don't know baseball. I'm excited. Baseball's therapy for me. I'm telling you, always has been. A lot of sports are. Love you guys. Ah, shit, I'm so sick. Zeb Weiser signing off.